Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Justice of God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about justice and the duty that God has for us with respect to justice, and especially the justice of God. Does God actually work justice in the earth? Does he see? Does he record? Does he repay? Does he recompense a person according to his deeds? Let's take a look at justice today and what God would teach us about that in his word, the scriptures this morning, for our encouragement in Christ. And first of all, why do I want to preach on this? Why did I choose to speak on this topic? It's because it seems to be like everybody in America is talking about justice today. Everywhere I go, people are asking, will we have justice in our country? And of course, that's because we've all been through this process this week, which it's called an election, which is supposed to be just and fair and orderly and neat, clean process. But this year, it seems to have been anything but that. And people are quite up in arms about what they are perceiving to be perhaps an injustice that has gone on. And whether it is or not, we'll see in due course. Who knows? We'll see. But many Americans are very upset at certain governors that stopped counting in the middle of the night on Tuesday when things didn't seem to be going their way. And they said, for the first time in the history of our country, no more counting, we'll pick it up in the morning. And then we've seen videos, if you've done any research on the internet, of trucks arriving at 4 a.m. by ununiformed officers, nobody checking or verifying who they are or where they're coming from, dropping off boxes with hundreds of thousands of ballots, which, when counted in the morning, when the voting places were actually supposed to be closed and nobody was counting, you wake up in the morning and lo and behold, they've been counted, these hundreds of thousands, and they seem all to be for Biden and not for Trump. And so whether there's injustice there or not, we'll have to figure out. But many Americans are saying that smacks of injustice. And you know, I'm no Sherlock Holmes or nothing, but it seems kind of a little fishy if you look at it to me. Meanwhile, you've seen how Republican poll officers who are supposed to be watching these things have been thrown out and not allowed to observe the counting of the ballots. They've been locked out of rooms, thrown out of rooms, and then cardboard put up on walls and windows so that you can't actually see what's going on in there. So we'll have to figure out what's going on there in due course. But that's just my reason for choosing to speak on this topic today, because everybody's asking in America today about injustice. Will there be justice in our country? Not only so, but you know, since the beginning of creation, there's been injustice in this world. Amen? I mean, every day there's a man who abuses his wife. There's a woman somewhere who cheats on her husband. There's a child that's been killed in abortion. There's been some robber who has gotten away with cash, seemingly gotten away with it. There is the businessman who deals underhandedly and somehow becomes a millionaire by dishonest methods. The poor are despoiled, as the scripture says. The widow is uncared for. The naked child is left unclothed and unfed. Is there to be found justice in the world? That's the question people are asking today in our country, especially based on the events of this week. And it seems that unjust people in the world say, I can get away with it. I can do whatever I want. No one sees what I'm doing. I can get away with it if I am clever enough. And so says the world. But now for the rest of this message this morning, let's take a look and see what God teaches us about justice in his word, the Bible. What does God say about justice in the scriptures? What does he proclaim to us? He says to you this morning, children, don't despair. Why? Number one, God says, because I am a God of justice. Amen? Let's read that, actually, in the Bible. I'm going to open up first to Isaiah 30, verse 18. It says, the Lord is a God of justice. That is a word of refreshment to us, that he who is over all things works justice, and he is just. Isaiah 61, verse 8. Let's read that one. It says, I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, says the Lord. If you turn over here to Psalm 37, we read this in verse 28. Turning over here, it says, for the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. The righteous shall be preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. And so, the first great refreshing word that we have today when we look at whatever it is, whether it be the election or we looking at just the general injustice that's in the world, is that God is just and he loves justice. Our King loves it and he himself is just. Let me proclaim to you right now that he is right. He is true. There's no injustice in him at all. He loves justice. He judges impartial. He takes no bribe. His ways are high and right and true. None is so just as he. And it's my joy to proclaim that to you. So that's the first great refreshing word God has for us today. Secondly, God says, is I want you, my people, to work for justice in the earth. That's one of the ways it's worked, is through the saints. Let me read that to you in Proverbs 31. This is a great verse, by the way, for pro-lifers. You've probably heard this, people who are working to save children. It says, speak up, says God, for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up, judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor. So God wants you to be a justice fighter, that justice is established on the earth through the saints. You're to go out there and get the job done. God loves that kind of thing because he loves justice. What kind of justice is God after, actually? Let's read that in Isaiah 58. God says, isn't this the fast that I choose? In other words, isn't this what I want you to do? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Isn't it to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So are you guys fighting for justice? Are you justice freedom fighters? God says you are. And in fact, you are doing these things. I mean, I think about Cecile. Boy, she's on fire lately, amen? She's feeding the poor with her homeless bags, which is fantastic. So she's working justice. Cheryl, you're working justice through the Christmas snow boxes there. What do you call it again? Christmas shoe boxes, right? Art, he works justice by getting the word of justice out on the word on the radio and internet. Our knitters who come on Thursday night, you're workers of justice for your clothing, the naked, the little babes, and the pregnant mothers, and those who are homebound and lonely. You're bringing justice to the earth. We have a number of people in our congregation who are in law enforcement. Great job, men. You're working justice in the earth and all kinds of things. You guys are doing fantastically and working justice. And this pleases the Lord immensely because he's a God of justice. But you know what? There are certain aspects of the world's injustice that are outside of our control. You know, they're outside of our personal realm of influence. You know, if there was any injustice this week in the election, and that's yet to be seen, you know, we don't have a whole lot of influence in that, do we? But what does God want us to do? Pray. Pray to him, to the God of justice, to work it. To work justice wherever it needs to be worked. In this election, for example, God, work your justice. So that's point number three, is that God himself, I want you to know, works justice in the earth. He does. This is what he works all the time, especially when we pray. For you know, people think, many people in the world think that they're getting away with whatever they're doing because they're doing their deeds in secret. And they think that God sees it not. And so if it's hidden, they can get away with it if they are clever enough. But God says, don't even go there. Nobody's getting away with anything. Well, the wicked, the unbelievers, have always been this way in the world. Psalm 10 says, in the pride of his countenance, the wicked doesn't seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments are on high, out of his sight. They can't see that God is seeing them, in other words. He says, he thinks in his heart, I won't be moved throughout all generations. I'll not meet adversity. He seizes the poor. The hapless is crushed, sinks down and falls by his might. He thinks in his heart, God's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see it because there is no God. That's the way the wicked works. Because if they thought God saw them, they wouldn't do what they do. But because they don't think God sees what they do it. And they do it in secret. I think they can get away if they're clever enough. What do you think God says to people like that? Psalm 94, God says and thunders, understand, O dullest of the people, you who slay the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless and say the Lord doesn't see, the God of Jacob doesn't perceive. Fools, he says, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, doesn't he hear? He who created the eye, does he not see? Isn't that true? Do you guys have eyes? You have ears? Who gave those to you? Who created them? If God can put together an eye and he puts together an ear, do you don't think he knows how to see and hear, says God? And God says, it says, God is a righteous judge, a God who has indignation every day when he sees injustice, says Psalm 7. And if a man doesn't repent, David says, what God does is he starts sharpening his sword. He's bent and strung his bow. He's prepared his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. And the wicked man, he conceives evil, then he's get pregnant with mischief, and he brings forth, gives birth to lies. And says he makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole which he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own pate, that is his head, his violence descends. So God says, all of your deeds, all of people's deeds on the earth are like a boomerang. You ever see that in Australia? You whip out the boomerang. What happens if you're not looking? It comes back and hits you in your own noggin. God says, I return a person's deeds upon his own head. So go after the good. Avoid the evil. Oftentimes, people, he gives the wicked enough time to dig a pit, but then they fall into the hole which they made. If they set a snare, he gives them enough time to set it up, but then they get caught in what they set up for somebody else. And that's the way God works justice in the earth. He establishes it in the earth, especially when his saints pray to him. Can you think of an example in the Old Testament about this? An amazing turn of tables? Well, I'm thinking of Haman and Mordecai. Remember that story in the book of Esther? Where there's a very righteous Jew named Mordecai and a very wicked man in the Persian Empire, right hand of the king, basically, named Haman. And Haman was furious. Why? Because Mordecai would not bow to him and give him the honor as he walked by, as if he were a god. And so Haman was absolutely furious in those days. He went home and sent and fetched his friends and his wife Zeresh. And he said, I'm so miserable. So long as I see Mordecai, that Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, here's our advice to you, Haman. Let a gallows, that's a hangman's place, 50 cubits high be made. In the morning, tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go merrily with the king to dinner. Nice family, huh? Corrupt to the core. What a wife, goodness gracious. And Haman was wickedly evil himself. And he loved that advice. So he made the gallows. And that night, though, the king couldn't sleep, says Scripture. And he gave orders to his people there to bring to him the record books. And they were to be read before the king. And it came to be known as he heard the records that there was a man once named Mordecai, a little while ago, who saved the king's life from two eunuchs in the king's castle who were seeking to lay hands on and kill the king. So the king then says to his servants, "What's been done for this man who saved my life?" "Nothing's been done for him." Just at that moment, by coinkydink, by coincidence, who walks in? Haman. And the king says to Haman, "What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?" Haman's like, "I'm sure nobody, he's talking about me. I'm the one he loves the most. I'll tell you what you do, O king. Let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set, and let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble princes. Let him array the man whom the king delights to honor, and let him conduct the man on horseback through the open square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" And the king said, "Great, good idea. Do that for Mordecai." And immediately, Haman is humiliated and has to follow through and parade Mordecai through the streets with great honor while he is furiously humiliated. God was working justice. Do you think it was by accident the king couldn't sleep that night? Do you think it was by just happenstance that he looked to the record books and fell upon that page? God works justice on the earth. But God was not done, for there was still a plot by Haman to exterminate all the Jews, wipe out the entire race on such and such a day. So meanwhile, what Mordecai didn't know is that the king's own wife, Queen Esther, was a Jew. And she then went to the king. "Someone is seeking to kill me, O king, and my people." The king Ahasuerus was furious. He said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he? That man who would presume to do this?" And Esther said, "A foe and an enemy, that wicked Haman." And Haman then was in terror before the king and the queen. And some standing next to the king said, "Behold, there's a gallows at Haman's house, which he intended to hang Mordecai on, the man you just honored and paraded through the streets." "Hang him on that," says the king. And they hanged him on the gallows which he'd prepared for Mordecai, hanged on the gallows that he himself prepared, note you, and the king's anger abated. And this all happened, guys, through the prayers of the saints. God works justice in the earth. So be encouraged that God rewards a person according to his deeds. He's done this millions of times, and make no mistake, he is a God of justice. So pray for that. But let's consider, though, we don't always see that happen immediately in life, do we? You know, you see a lot of injustice that goes unavenged, really. It just continues on for a time. Sometimes there's an immediate justice. We love that. That's like, oh, that's our choice. We love that God. We love that one. Sometimes, though, God waits a while and delays his justice for his purposes that we don't always understand. Sometimes he delays it to the very end of a person's life, such that the wicked will prosper throughout their life and the righteous are brought very low for many, many years. When I thought how to understand this, said the psalmist in Psalm 76, why the righteous is low and the wicked is high, it seemed to me a very wearisome task until I went to church. In other words, until I went to the sanctuary of God. And then I perceived their end. I saw what's going to happen in the future. Truly, that has set them in slippery places, that has make them fall to ruin, how they're destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. We see this really all the time. There are wicked people, especially like Hollywood sometimes, doing very bad things. They got it all as the life is going on, but toward the end of their life, they see the ruin and devastation that a life of crazy partying wreaks. "I've seen a man overbearing," says Psalm 37, "and towering like a cedar of Lebanon. Again I passed by, and lo, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. But mark that blameless man, and behold the upright, for there's posterity, there's a future for the man of peace." So sometimes God works his justice immediately. Sometimes he delays a while. Sometimes he waits to the end of a person's life. And sometimes he reserves his judgment for the very last day, the great judgment of God, when Jesus comes back on the clouds of heaven. And he will not, though, ever fail to establish justice in the earth. We hope in that. Let's consider the judgment, though, of the great day, the last day, the end of this world, when Jesus comes, and believe me, that day is coming soon. Jesus explained it like this in Matthew 12. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. Solomon says, God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. No one gets away with anything, says God. This is a peace for the saints. In the midst of the injustice we see while we wait for justice in this world, that when Jesus comes, he will sit on his glorious throne. This is Revelation 20. And when he sits on his throne, the earth and the sky, they flee away from him at his presence. And then the dead are raised, and they stand before the throne, and then books are opened. And the dead are judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. For Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he says, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. So every deed is seen and repaid at the last day. Are there secret things that you can do, though, that God never sees? Can you hide, for example, behind cardboard? I'm just using the example of this week. Can you do deeds covered up that will not be revealed? Jesus says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Whatever you've said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. There's not a single deed a person ever does in secret that will not be brought into the light and judged. And if a person remains in wickedness until the day of judgment, that is, doesn't come to Christ, the judgment is eternal darkness, being cast out away from the presence of the Lord forever in punishment. What's our hope, though, Christians, about the justice of God with respect to your evil deeds that you've done? Because guess what? You've done evil deeds, and myself as well. We have a great news. We have good news that God has come to cover those deeds, something better than cardboard, with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which removes every deed you've done in secret that was wrong and wicked. For we know in Scripture that we've all sinned, all right? We've all fallen short of God's glory. But God put forth his Son, and we are justified by God's grace as a free gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood, so that we might receive that salvation by faith. And listen to this. God justifies. You hear the word justice in there? God justifies him who has faith in Jesus. In other words, he works his justice. He makes you to be full of justice. And he makes you just in his sight through the blood of Christ in whom you've believed, removing and washing those sins. Because guess what? Judgment, punishment has already been meted out. They've been paid. They've been paid at the cross. Your sins on him were paid. Justice was served already for you. And therefore, you are free through what Jesus did for you. And through your faith in him, there is no punishment for you. You are in righteousness, and you are in life and forgiveness and eternal life through him. And God is now, that you're free, so gracious that he says even this, now, children, work righteousness, work justice on the earth. Do good deeds for every last deed you do, whether it be openly or in secret. I see it, and I'm going to reward you on that day of my coming. Jesus says, truly, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. For every knit sweater, for every homeless bag given, for every injustice corrected in your life as best as you can with what strength God gives you, you will be repaid. For each one shall receive his wages according to his labor, says 1 Corinthians 3. And therefore, be energized this week. Be light, be bright with the justice of God, and seek after everything that's right and good and true. For Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to drink to someone because he bears the name of Christ, he will by no means lose his reward. So my point with you this week then is, hey, don't despair too much over what's going on in our culture, in our country this day. Sure, yeah, it's unnerving. Might be. We'll see in time when it comes out. But remember this. No one ever gets away with anything. Just do right. Fight for justice where you can. Know that you are saved in Jesus Christ and leave the rest of it just to God. For it is written of Jesus, and I'll conclude with this, Isaiah 42, he, Jesus the Christ, will not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Justice of God, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul. And God bless you.